This is Audible.
Lake and Manning. Written by Jessica Hawkins. Narrated by Andy Arndt. Blueberry Pie. Winter 2008. Chapter 1. With oven mitts tucked under one arm and my cell balanced between my ear and shoulder, I stepped over Blue. Every winter since we'd adopted her 2 years ago, the dog had taken to lying in the middle of the kitchen whenever I baked. "One sec," I said into the phone and bent at the waist. I flipped on the oven light and a blueberry pie appeared, crust browning right on schedule. "Perfect." "What's perfect?" Val asked on the other end of the line. "The pie I'm baking, Manning." "Good. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach." "Not exactly. After over a week away from Manning, food would be the second thing on his mind. They need to think a few inches lower." "You're such a wife, and you're not even married. I bet you're wearing an apron and everything." "I am. It has birds on it." "Okay, that's weird. Birds have nothing to do with cooking," Val said. "But here's what you need to do. Once Manning is full of pie and bear meat, or whatever a human his size eats, and he's half asleep, ask him why."
"Why what?"
"The marriage thing." I turned off the oven. I should have known she'd bring it back up, even though I'd tried to steer her off course. Diversion tactics didn't work on my best friend when she was onto something. "There's no marriage thing," I said, checking over my shoulder to make sure Manning hadn't snuck up on me. "Can we drop this?" "You were telling me you weren't sure why, after 4 years of cohabitation, one of which I commuted to Los Angeles for work," I said, "and three of which I've lived part-time in Pomona." She ignored me. "You were saying you don't know why Manning hasn't proposed yet." "That's not what I said." With a sigh, I removed the pie from the oven and set it on a burner. "I already know why he hasn't. I told him not to until I was done with school." "You said you didn't want to get married until you were done with school, and you're graduating next summer. He can still propose." I hated to admit Val had a point. What I'd actually started to explain before I'd remembered Val would take anything juicy and run with it was how Manning used to bug me constantly about getting married. But lately, he'd been uncharacteristically quiet on the topic. Between his furniture business and me being gone 4 days a week for school, marriage had hardly come up at all the last 6 or so months. I wasn't wondering why he hadn't proposed. I wanted to know why he'd given up trying to propose. Because Manning had ways of getting what he wanted. We'd once spent 3 weeks arguing over whether I needed snow tread tires for my car. Snow in Big Bear was pretty mild, and when it wasn't, we took Manning's truck. Winter tires were expensive. I'd given in out of exhaustion. Manning wanted to get married. Of that I was certain. He would have sealed the deal the warm September day I'd moved in, except that I'd made him promise to wait. That, and he wanted the wedding to be special, and right now neither of us had time for anything more than a quick trip to City Hall. Manning's business kept him busy around the clock. I went to school 2 hours away, so I'd rented an apartment where I stayed during the week. Our life had not yet begun. But it would soon. I had one semester left of classes before graduating in May, and surely that had crossed Manning's mind. "I'm not going to dope him up on blueberry pie and ask him to ask me to marry him, especially since I don't even know if I want that yet." "You won't let yourself want it because you've been burned in the past." "Not true. I want it eventually, but with our schedules, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if the pie doesn't get him to drop to one knee, withhold sex until he caves. I assume you're naked under your apron." I laughed. "I am not, and I don't need Manning to cave. He and I have no secrets. If I'm ready for a proposal, I can just tell him." "Where's the fun in that?" she asked. "In my plan, you get pie and sex." "I'm already getting those things. Since I was gone all last week for exams, I'm surprising him with a home-cooked meal and other things." I didn't need an excuse to feed us both into a coma or climb Manning like the mountain of a man he was. Nor did I need one to broach the subject of marriage, should I decide to do such a thing. "He thinks you're still in Pomona?" she asked. Until tomorrow.
Blue raised her head to look at me with her signature turquoise eyes. I put my index finger over my lips.
Don't tell Daddy.
Ew, Val said.
You call him Daddy?
I was talking to Blue. I squatted to scratch her stomach. Manning and I had decided to foster pets until after graduation when I'd be living at home full time. Blue was a Border Collie Australian Shepherd mix, or so we guessed, named after the striking color of her eyes. She'd been the third dog we'd taken in. I'd cried buckets when the shelter had placed the second dog, so Manning had suggested we keep Blue. He'd said it was to prevent more tears, but it was no secret Manning had a weakness for blue eyes. When the front door opened, Blue perked up.
He's here, I whispered to Val.
I'll call you later.
Tell him to put a ring on it, she cried.
I don't even want to know how many times you've listened to Beyoncé's new album, I said before I hung up.
Lake?
Manning called, stomping through the foyer. I stood and smoothed out my apron before quickly scrubbing flour from my wrist.
In the kitchen.
He came wiping his temple on his sleeve.
You said you were driving in tomorrow morning.
I had about 2 seconds to get a good look at him, flannel open at the collar, a week's worth of beard and hair pushed off his face, before he had me off my feet and wrapped in one of his strong bear hugs. I decided to surprise you, I said.
I hate surprises.
He inhaled my hair.
There's ice on the roads and it's dark out. If anything had happened...
Want me to come back tomorrow? He growled into my neck and set me on the counter.
A week's too long, Lake.
I let my head fall back as he trailed kisses up my throat. He pulled me to the edge, urging my legs around him.
Manning,
I said when his tool belt pressed my inner thighs. Your drill.
That's not my drill, Bertie.
He snickered as he unhooked his belt and let it hit the ground with a thunk that made me jump.
Watch out for Blue!
She knows to get out of the way when Mama Bear comes home.
I laughed as he tickled the underside of my jaw with his overgrown stubble. Why are you still wearing all that anyway? I asked.
Huh?
He said, leaning in for a kiss. I pulled back. Usually you leave your belt in the workshop at the end of the day.
I was coming in to grab a bite.
I pushed my palms into his chest, using all my strength to keep him from devouring me.
A bite? I asked. What about those frozen meals I left you?
That's a bite for me. I was going to put one in the microwave.
You mean oven?
Right.
Then what?
Down the hatch and back to work. Can we talk about this after?
I arched an eyebrow. I'd expected enthusiasm from him naturally, but Manning was coming at me like I was blueberry pie.
After what?
He sighed, relenting enough to let me push him back.
I missed you. You can't expect me not to be eager.
Phone sex not cutting it? I joked. He leveled me with a glare.
You know it doesn't. I'm just happy to have you to myself for more than a weekend.
Thank heavens for Christmas break. I played with one of his shirt buttons while keeping my distance. But it's after 7. Why were you going back out there?
What do you think I do when you're not here?
He licked his lips as he stared at mine.
I work.
Not tonight, you don't. He squeezed my hips, bringing me against his crotch.
I never work late when you're here.
That was our deal. No matter what's going on, if we're both in town, we always eat dinner together.
I kissed his forehead and slid off the counter despite his grunted protest.
First, we eat.
But it's been almost 2 weeks.
It's been 8 days. I picked up his tool belt and set it on the counter. There's lasagna in the oven, and I'm cooling a pie for dessert. As I'd predicted, that silenced him. Food was the one thing that had the potential to hold over Manning's sex drive, at least for a bit.
You were supposed to have dinner with classmates tonight to celebrate getting exams out of the way.
There was no dinner. Bent over to check on the lasagna, I looked back at him and grinned. I lied.
Lied?
He hooked a finger in my apron string and tugged me backward.
To me? Who do you think you're dealing with here?
I pushed his hand away and shuffled back to the oven. Hand me the mitts. He put them on himself and pulled the dish out to set it next to the pie.
"Nothing like your homemade meals," he said. "My mouth is watering."
"Patience. I won't be responsible for yet another of your burnt tongues. Why don't you go shut down the shop?" I asked, turning to get a spatula. He took my elbow, pulling me back until I was against his chest.
"Thank you," he said.
Tucked into him, I let out a long breath. As much as I liked to tease Manning for his grumpiness when we were apart, I felt our distance, too. Every hour of every day. There were times I was tempted to drop out and leave Pomona so we could finally start our lives together, but it was the closest college to us with a veterinary program. "What are you thanking me for?" I asked. "I haven't done anything yet." Blue tried to nose between us. Manning scratched behind her ear while keeping me close.
"You're home early. That's worth giving thanks for."
"I wish I could be here more."
"I want that too. You know I do. But it's not forever."
Even though I knew our distance bothered Manning, he'd been nothing but supportive of my career. He'd stuck by me as I'd finished out my contract in Hollywood. Then, when I'd turned around and picked a university that was also 2 hours away, over the last decade and a half, we'd gotten pretty used to being apart. Maybe what we needed now was a peace, or even a promise, of forever. Damn it, Val. It was possible she'd known exactly what seed she was planting when she'd brought up marriage. That girl had always been wiser than she looked. And then, any thoughts in my head vanished. Manning bent down and shook the ground I stood on with a slow, sweet kiss.
"Should have done that as soon as I walked in the door," he said.
"You were excited," I teased, sliding my arms around his neck.
"Still am."
He thumbed the corner of my mouth.
"Your lips are all red. If I'd known you were coming tonight, I would have shaved."
I ran the back of my hand over the short beard he'd grown during the week we'd been apart. "You never let it get this long."
"Because I don't like to scratch you up."
"So if I weren't around, you'd go full Sasquatch?"
"Nah. All this hair itches. I'm just too lazy to shave it when you're gone."
Considering it was December, I kind of dug the mountain man look. But if he didn't want to shave, I'd do it for him. He did enough for me on a daily basis. Tonight was about him. "Dinner's almost ready," I said, slipping out of his arms. "Go lock up. I have plans for you later."
"Plans?"
He patted my behind and picked up his belt from the counter on his way out the door.
"Can't wait."
I turned back to Blue, who looked from me to the food as if I might finally break down and scoop a serving into her dog dish. A home-cooked meal, blueberry pie, and sex.
That was a plan, wasn't it? A good one, too.
No sense in bringing up anything as serious as marriage tonight. If only I could stop thinking about it.
Chapter 2.
While Manning did the dishes, I laid a towel over the counter in our master bath, filled a cup under the faucet, and got his razor from a cabinet. Manning came in rubbing his stomach.
"I think I ate too much."
"I told you not to have that second piece of pie." He nodded at the scene unfolding in front of him.
"What's all this?"
"Get a chair from the dining room."
"You gonna shave me?"
"You said you needed one." I glanced at him over my shoulder. "And you're always raving about how much you love..."
"Shaving you?
He came up behind me, catching my eye in the mirror above our sinks as he slid a hand down my tummy.
"Speaking of, you should be due for one yourself."
I relaxed against his front as he pushed his hand into the waist of my jeans. "Some of my friends at school have started waxing," I told him as he toyed with the lace band of my thong. "Do you want me to do that? It's cleaner."
"And put me out of the job?"
He rasped into my ear, his wandering fingers making my breath catch.
"You know how much I love to do it."
Manning was a true creative. It was something everyone else overlooked. He hadn't just built our home. He didn't just put furniture together. He designed with attention to every detail. And he'd designed me, too. We'd spent many nights in the clawfoot tub he'd chosen and installed. He shaved my legs, took his time on my bikini line so he wouldn't nick me, and was never satisfied until it was exactly as he wanted it. It always led to sex. his focus and care, and the slow, controlled way he groomed me until he was content, was a special kind of foreplay. Tempted to give in to him, I blinked away my haze and forced myself back to reality. I'd get mine soon enough, but first I wanted to pamper this man who worked way too hard. I urged his hand from my pants. "Later," I said. "Right now, what I really need is a chair."
"Coming right up."
Once he'd left, I checked that I had everything I needed, or at least what I'd seen Manning use in the mornings. He returned with a dining chair and sat facing the mirror. Behind him, I clipped a hand towel around his shoulders, then tilted his chin back until he was looking upside down at me. "This is my first time," I said. "How do I do it?"
"I don't know. Just shave."
"Do I go with or against the grain?"
"I go against, but I never really thought about it."
I went to stand in front of him. "You do this almost every day. It never occurred to you to make sure to do it right?"
"The hair's gone each morning, isn't it?"
With a sigh, I shook my head and filled my palm with shaving cream. I smoothed it over his jaw, careful not to get it in his hairline, or up his nose, as I covered his upper lip.
"You're being way too nice about this whole thing," he said. "Slap on the cream and slice away."
"Sit there a few minutes and let the cream soften the hair," I said, ignoring him. "I'm going to look up how to do this properly."
"It's not a big deal."
"No? Is that how you shave me? Slice away?" He frowned.
"Of course not."
"Then let me do this my way." I stuck out my tongue and went to our shared office, which had only a desk with a chair, a printer, and some lightweight file cabinets. It was the smallest room in the house and closest to the master, perfect for a nursery, but Manning had set up there temporarily because it let the most light in. I sat at the computer, ran a search on how to shave a man's face, and returned to the bathroom with one of the articles. Manning slow blinked at me.
"You printed out directions."
"I want to do it right." "Step one," I read. "Apply cream and let the hair soften." I gave Manning a told-you-so look in the mirror and scanned the rest of the instructions before swapping them for his razor. "You don't take care of yourself when I'm gone."
"Where's that coming from?"
I stood between his knees, tilted his chin up, and slid the razor down his jaw. "You don't shave correctly. You're supposed to go with the grain."
"I'm a grown man, Lake."
"Are you? When I'm not here, you don't eat enough vegetables. You smoke more."
"Nah."
"Don't pretend you don't. Also, you work from dawn till dusk. Maybe it's time to put an ad in the paper. If you had help around here, you could cut back. And you'd see a real human each day, so you'd have to look presentable." I pulled back to inspect my progress on his right cheek. "I worry you're lonely up here all by yourself."
"I am,"
he said, running a hand up the outside of my thigh.
"That's no secret."
"Even after I graduate, I'll be working long hours. I can't be here all the time."
"Lake, I don't need anything other than what we've got. I'm not looking to make more friends or hire someone who'll be in my business."
"They'll be in your shed, working side by side with you. It doesn't mean you have to give up any control."
"I do have to give up money, though. I suspect this person will want to get paid."
"The whole idea is that they produce more and you make more."
"Doubt that when I'd have to double-check their work all day long."
"That's called trust, and letting go, and delegation." I frowned at his purposeful stubbornness. "I know you don't need a business lesson. I just want you to go easier on yourself." His eyes roamed over my face.
"You should take your own advice."
"I can't." I tilted his chin back even farther to get to his neck. "In my case, sometimes we're talking life or death. I have to be as prepared as possible before I start working with people's pets."
"See, we're each getting established still. It'll come. Give it time."
I set down the razor and toweled off the remaining shaving cream. He shut his eyes as I wiped his jaw, then while I raked my fingers through the sides of his hair. If I was going to bring up marriage, this was about as good an opening as I could ask for. My palms got suddenly clammy. He looked so relaxed, probably for the first time since I'd left. And did I really need to pester him about why he'd suddenly dropped the subject? Manning was a deliberate man. Whatever they were, He had his reasons.
Feels good, he murmured. I need you, Lake.
He pulled me between his legs by my hips, his eyes trailing up my stomach and over my breasts in a way that tightened my insides.
I have since you walked in the door.
Not yet, I said.
Now.
He stood and swooped me up before I could protest, carrying me toward the bedroom. I have one more thing planned, I said, pushing his chest. Reroute to the den.
Yeah, he said,
pivoting and heading the opposite direction down the hall.
We haven't done it in there in a while.
I rolled my eyes as he stopped short in the doorway of the den.
When did you do all this?
While you were working. Put me down and get the fireplace going. Once on the ground, I set to work lighting the candles on the mantle I'd put out before dinner. In the middle of the room, near the fireplace on a sheepskin rug, I'd made a bed of pillows. Manning looked back at me while stalking the fireplace.
Johnny Walker Blue Label,
he asked as I poured us drinks at a side table.
What's the occasion?
You. I set his tumbler aside. I know you weren't happy I wanted to stay in Pomona and study last week, and I'm sure you worked yourself to the bone. I'm giving you a long massage to make up for it. He lit a roll of newspaper and held it up to the chimney to warm the flue.
You think you're strong enough to take on these knots?
Oh, yes, I grinned, picking up massage oil and flexing my bicep. Nobody knows your body like I do, Great Bear. I'm going to hit all your sweet spots. He actually shuddered. I perched on the edge of the couch and motioned for him to sit on the floor between my legs. Strip. He elbowed off his flannel, tossing it aside as he got to the ground. I squirted oil on his shoulders and rubbed it over his upper back and biceps. Massaging him was like kneading concrete, and after a few minutes, with the fire in full effect, my hairline started to perspire. I readjusted on the couch, my thigh muscles aching from holding my legs open.
Doing all right? He asked.
Yep. I worked the back of his neck, running my fingers up to his scalp, then down his spine. The California sun was strong, even in winter, and despite his naturally bronzed skin, he had a faint tan line at the back of his neck. Is it making any difference?
Yeah, Bertie,
he laughed.
But you're sweating on me.
I pinched his arm. You love it. He looked over his shoulder and up at me.
Come here.
I leaned over his front, sliding my hands down his pecs from behind, flipping my long hair over his shoulder to nuzzle his neck. He pulled me closer by my arms.
There's the sweet spot,
he said as I massaged his abs of stone, my fingers inching lower and lower. He released my arm to pick up his whiskey from the side table, took a sip, and passed it back to me. The burn of liquor, of the fireplace on my skin, loosened my limbs.
You're shaking.
He trapped my knees with his biceps, pulling my legs to his sides and massaging my calves. Your shoulders are too wide. I put the glass next to him on the ground. My thighs hurt. He scooted forward, away from me.
I've never heard a better invitation. I'm more than happy to relieve your aching thighs.
Tonight's about you. Get on the rug so I can work on yours.
When did you get so bossy?
He asked, but went to lie on the floor where I'd piled the pillows. He stuffed one under his chest, resting his chin on his forearms.
Persistent. Impulsive. Yes. But my little bird used to have a shy side.
You've spent the last few years touching, licking, and kissing the shy right out of me, I pointed out, sitting on his ass.
I have, haven't I?
He asked, a smile in his voice.
How come Blue's not nudging her snout up my ass?
I put her out back.
You really planned this out.
Shh. I ran my thumbs up the muscles around his spine. Try to relax. Once I'd located a knot, I used one elbow, then both, to get deeper. I added more and more pressure until he groaned.
All right, you win,
he said.
That feels fucking great.
When I hit a sore spot, he bucked his hips. As turned on as I was easing the aches in my strong man, as much as I wanted him to pull me into his arms and make love to me, I mostly wished he'd be able to relax until I'd exhausted myself.
Of course, I had no delusions that would actually happen. There'd be no end to the massage or start to sex. Manning's groans deepened as I hit his lower back. I dipped my fingers under the waistband of his jeans, kneading the top of his ass.
"Don't neglect the front," he said.
I slickened my palms with more oil. He lifted his hips as I slid my hands down the front of his pants and stroked him once, long and slow. I sat back as he flipped over and took his pants off. There'd be no more subduing the bear, so I gave in and climbed on.
"Your face is pink," he said.
"I'm warm from the fire." He opened my blouse, offering slight relief from the heat. I shut my eyes as he slid my top off my shoulders, then unbuttoned my jeans.
"Let me see you," he said.
He could already see as much of me as he wanted, but as always, he wanted my eyes open. I looked down at him, leaning my hands on his chest. My hair made a curtain around us, his abs tensing as the ends grazed his skin.
"Even lit up by the fire," he said, shoving a hand in the front of my jeans. "You look angelic."
I sucked in a breath as he circled his fingertips over my clit through my underwear. "Maybe it's a disguise to lure you in," I said, biting my lip.
"It's working."
He slipped aside the crotch of my panties.
"The question is, how deep do you want me?"
I bent at the waist to hover my mouth above his. "Do you have a setting other than as deep as possible?" I asked. He fought against my jeans to push two fingers inside me, flicking them until my thighs shook for a different reason. With the tight fit, his palm massaged my clit.
"Are you teasing me?"
he asked, withdrawing his hand.
"Because that's a two-way street."
"I doubt that's a game you want to play." Worked up from the massage, I was nearly panting already. I wiggled off his lap to kiss my way over his pecs and abs, letting my hair trail on his skin, knowing how it tickled and aroused him. Pulling down his underwear, I licked the underside of his shaft while raking my nails along his inner thighs. As I tongued the tip of his cock, I glanced at him from under my lashes. By the time he gave in and fisted the hair at my scalp, he was writhing beneath me.
"You win," he said. "Put your mouth on me."
"Not yet," I smirked. Once, turning Manning on had been an adventure, his body knew territory to chart. Now I could follow the map with my eyes closed, and had many times. Just as he knew a feathered touch along my ribs always made my breath hitch, I knew grazing a fingernail under his balls turned his erection from stone to pure steel. Gone were the days of my timidity and uncertainty. When I took Manning in my mouth, I did it with the confidence that I could send him to heaven with a blowjob. And also that he wouldn't let me. When he was as turned on as he was now, he never finished anywhere but balls deep inside me. I sucked Manning with everything I had to make him feel like a king, to show him how I worshipped him. And I didn't stop until he started to come apart beneath me. I had him partway down my throat when he tugged me up by my hair. I stood to peel off my jeans, taking my time so he could watch. I didn't have to ask how he wanted me. Whenever we fucked after time apart, he had to be able to touch me everywhere, look me in the eye, watch my face as I climaxed. That first time, he wanted me raw so he could come inside me. After he'd had his fill, he might fuck me from behind or ask me to swallow him, but never that first time. I slipped my underwear down to my ankles and stepped out of them to stand over him.
"Are you wet enough, or you want me to eat you out first?"
he asked. With only his words and the flicker of his tongue over his bottom lip, my knees weakened. "I don't think I can wait," I said.
"Me neither."
As I lowered myself, he took my hips, positioning them over him. I braced my hands against his chest and sank onto him. Some nights he couldn't get inside me fast enough. Others he allowed me to take control, to tease both of us as I let myself adjust to his size. It didn't matter how many times we'd been together. Our union always felt like the first time. Overwhelming, big, thick. Manning squeezed my waist until his fingertips nearly touched. He cupped my breasts as I rocked on him, thumbing my nipples, then wrapping his hands loosely around my neck. He held me in place as he took over, thrusting up into me so I could do nothing but take all of him and moan each time he hit the right spot. He flipped me onto my back. The right side of my body cooled quickly away from the fire. His first thrust from on top came undiluted, hard and deep, the manifestation of his ache to be inside me all day. He dropped his forehead to mine, and without warning, he slowed, lengthening his thrusts, as if stroking his cock with me. He kissed me with the same gentle control, both of us appreciating the simple joy of being there together.
"Let's make love here every night," he murmured.
"Life is not that good," I said. "It can't be."
"It can. It is."
My heart swelled, and I held on more tightly as he picked up his pace. One of his hands roamed down my side and over my hip, pulling my thigh up until my knee was bent. He reached underneath me, teasing forbidden spots that he knew put me on the brink of climax. I let myself get lost in him, in the desperate and loving way he took me, and when he was ready to come, he made sure I did first. As my orgasm worked through me, he moved my hands above my head. I barely felt the grip of his fingers laced with mine, the grunts that rumbled his chest, and then the hot, slick way he filled me. Manning rolled onto his back, sweating with labored breaths. I stayed where I was, boneless and sinking into the pillows. After a few moments, he squeezed an arm underneath me to pull me into his side.
"I thought I was eating frozen leftovers by myself and jerking off tonight," he said, eyes already closed. "I can hardly believe my luck."
He murmured his last words, fading fast. I was still wide awake. "You jerk off when I'm not here?" I teased. "To what?" I shifted up to rest my arm on his chest and my chin on the back of my hand so I could see him. "Internet porn?" A grunt was his only response. I'd lost him. I took a few moments to study his serene face. I'd accomplished what I'd wanted. I'd spoiled him into a coma. But alone with my thoughts, Val's questions floated to the front of my mind. How long until I got to call myself his wife? I'd waited years to be his at all. Even though I was the one who'd wanted to put off marriage, it didn't really make sense to me anymore. Once I graduated and moved back in full-time, there was no reason not to have a wedding. Manning's breathing had evened out. Now probably wasn't the right time to bring up marriage. Then again, when had either of us ever gotten our timing right?
Chapter 3. The crackling fire warmed Manning's dark features as he dozed. Flames made shadows on his strong, angular face, his expression still and peaceful because of our lovemaking. It wasn't helping my sudden impatience to bring up marriage that he looked handsome as ever.
"Are you awake?" I asked.
You
know, I love our life. It took a couple seconds, but just like I knew it would, that brought Manning back to consciousness. He opened one eye.
What?
I traced a circle in his chest hair. And in the past, I said I wanted to finish school before we made any big changes.
And I said we've already waited long enough.
Exactly.
Exactly what?
He scanned my face.
Hard as I try, I can't read your mind. You want to ask me something, do it.
Manning always reminded me he couldn't read my mind, but I didn't believe that for a moment. He knew what I wanted. He always seemed to, anyway. It was the small things, like when he brought me tea some nights while I studied, and others he seemed to sense when I'd hit a wall. He'd carry me off to bed, even when I protested that I should push through a few more hours. I didn't have to ask for what I wanted very often, and since there was no bigger request than marry me, it made me shy. "You really don't know?" I asked.
"Yeah."
He tucked some of my hair behind my ear.
"But I need you to say it."
I blew out a breath. "Remember, a few months ago, we were on that hike in the woods, and you stopped to tie your shoes?" He laughed a little.
"We've been on a lot of hikes, Lake."
"But you got down on one knee, and I wasn't expecting anything, but the way you did it, it looked like, I mean, I know it's dumb, but..." Like it had in the moment,
My heart skipped with the possibility of Manning proposing. I'm embarrassed to admit where my mind went, and not for the first time.
You told me not to propose.
Since when do you listen to me? The dimple that appeared when he half-smiled made me want to forget this whole thing and ravage him again.
For once, he said with amusement, I'm not the one bringing this up.
You used to all the time, but you don't anymore. I lowered my eyes to his chest. I know you're not having second thoughts about us, but are you having second thoughts? He laughed.
No, Bertie. Of course not. It's because other things have been taking up space in my mind.
Other things? What other things? Manning had a terribly sweet habit of putting me first all the time. He'd once canceled his workday to drive me into Pomona when my car had broken down the morning of an exam, one reason I'd started staying at school before anything important. Then he'd picked me up at the end of that week in my newly fixed car. Any night I was home to make dinner, he stopped everything the moment I called for him, even when he was in the zone. In the bedroom, my needs came first. Literally. If he was thinking about something other than me or work, I couldn't say I blamed him, but it was out of character. What things? He looked up at the ceiling, blinking a few times as if choosing his words.
I like to think one of the lessons I've learned over the years is that perfect doesn't exist. The day I marry you, finally hearing you're my wife will be enough. But I can't help that I want it to be as close to perfect as possible.
My nerves fizzled out. I thought we'd moved on from this. At first, Manning had stayed away because he was afraid he'd ruin me. Then it had taken him years to bring me to the home he'd built us due to some ridiculous expectations he'd invented. I hadn't needed perfection then, and I didn't now. I just needed Manning. I couldn't help feeling as if this was a setback for us. I don't need some grand gesture proposal, Manning. Ask whenever you're ready. Then we can go to City Hall for all I care. The way he scolded me with a simple look, I could see City Hall was not an option. I don't need or even want perfect, I continued, especially if it means you're going to put distance between us the way you have in the past. His expression eased.
Let me rephrase. I don't need perfect. All I care about, and I think you want this too, is that the wedding is us, and we are far from perfect.
Exactly, I said. So what's the problem?
I never want you to look back at that day with any regrets.
Are you kidding? How could you think... Regret. The meaning of his words dawned on me. When Manning spoke of regret, it was usually in regard to one thing. Is this about my family? He scratched the bridge of his nose and said,
They should be there.
We've been over this. They don't want to be there, and I've made my peace with that.
So you've talked with them about this? He asked.
He knew I hadn't. I spoke to my mom and Tiffany even less frequently than I had when I lived in New York. I couldn't just come out and tell them I was with Manning. Not only did the idea of it make my stomach churn, but it wasn't news to break over the phone. On the rare occasion we did talk, keeping them in the dark about the most important part of my life felt like lying. It was easier not speaking to them at all. Not bothering to hold back a scowl, I started to get up. I haven't, but I guess you have. Manning tugged me back onto his chest by my elbow.
Your dad and I mainly talk about my business. He has no idea I speak to you, as you know.
He sighed.
My point is that you don't know what they want. You're using that as an excuse not to make the first move.
Are you giving me an ultimatum? I asked. If I don't make up with my family, you won't marry me?
Come on now. You know there's nothing in the world that can keep me from making you my wife. I've just begun to realize that it's more important for you to have your father walk you down the aisle than it is for me to get what I want as soon as possible.
The fire popped beside us as Manning tilted his head.
If it means waiting until you realize it too, I'm willing to do that.
The idea of my father, who'd wanted nothing to do with me for over a decade, walking me down the aisle was so painful that my nose tingled with unwelcome tears. It would never happen. It wasn't an image I'd been prepared for, and Manning had lobbed it at me without warning. This time, I managed to get up before he could pull me back.
Then I hope you're prepared to wait a while.
I covered myself with a throw, tucking it under my arms. It's not as if I haven't thought about having them there, but I don't see how it would work.
It's not as impossible as you think, he said, sitting up. You'll never know if you don't try.
Manning and I had been doing so well. The thought that he'd let anything come between us anymore, especially things we'd already defeated, like my family and his, and the stupidity of perfection, angered me.
You sound like a middle school inspirational poster, I said, hoping it came out as bitchy as I meant it to.
If you can tell me with complete sincerity that you have absolutely no desire for them to be there, then I'll accept that, he said. You can't know how badly I want to marry you, and I'm not willing to let them come between us again. But you should know that I'm going to talk to your father before we do this. And Tiffany, too.
I turned to look down at him, my face heating.
How can you go to him for permission? Of course he'll say no. He never wanted us together, and in case you've forgotten, he got his way on that issue for a very long time.
It's not permission. It's respect.
Why? Why do you care what they think?
Maybe they don't mean anything to you anymore, but they were my family once, too.
He scrubbed his hand through his hair.
This is important to me, Lake.
What should be important to you is the fact that you and I lost several years together thanks to him. Thanks to both of them. Is that the kind of family you want?
I know it's easier to think this is all their fault, but it isn't.
He grabbed his underwear, probably sensing our canoodling was done for the night. The way he was headed, he might even be sleeping on the couch.
I made my own decisions back then, and your father had less impact on those decisions than you think.
Definitely the couch.
If you're trying to make me feel better, you're failing miserably,
I shot back as I turned to blow out the candles.
I want you to put this behind you, he said. Your old man's stubborn, and he's not going to give in.
If I'd known the marriage topic would veer into such dangerous territory as my family, I never would have broached it. Although I held lingering resentment for the fact that my father had gone out of his way to keep us apart, what really angered me was that he couldn't admit to his mistakes. Respect my decision not to attend USC and try to reconcile with me. He'd let a stupid cluster of buildings come between us. I pulled one pillow from under Manning and then another, tossing them on the couch as I kept my chin high.
So why do I have to be the one to bridge the gap?
Because pride isn't a good enough reason to ruin a relationship with the man who raised you, a man who only ever wanted what was best for you.
I think you're forgetting one thing, I said, holding the throw closed with one hand as I deconstructed Manning's bed of pillows and our romantic night.
He doesn't want anything to do with me either. It's not all my stubbornness.
Your dad misses you.
He got up and pulled on his underwear.
I've been saying it for years. I'd never encourage you to reconcile with him if I didn't believe that.
I turned to put out the fire, which I'd only done a couple times. I picked up the poker I'd seen Manning use and hesitated. He watched silently, which was almost worse than arguing with me. It was hard to ignore him when he wasn't speaking. Finally, he came and took the poker from me.
I know how much his rejection hurts you, but I believe he wants to be back in your life as much as you believe he doesn't.
Then explain to me why he still hasn't been able to pick up the phone. I'm finally on a respectable career path by his standards. Why hasn't that been enough of a reason to reach out?
Let me ask you this, Manning said, crossing his arms. What could Charles possibly say to excuse his behavior the past decade and a half?
Nothing.
I'm sure that's what he thinks as well. Like you, he's convinced there's too big a gulf between you.
There is. I picked up the dregs of our whiskey. I can't even believe you're bringing this up now. I was so excited to talk about us, our future, and now all I can think about is them. I thought you understood. I thought you were on my side.
I'm always on your side, Lake, and that's why I'm pushing this. Not because it'd make me happy, even though it would. It's because I want you to be happy. You can't hide the fact that you miss your family forever.
I'm not hiding anything, I said, turning to leave the room. On my way out, I added, You don't see me asking you to reconcile with your father so I can have a perfect wedding full of family fun.
As I said it, my throat thickened with the threat of tears. This was not how I'd anticipated the night would go. Now, not only was I embarrassed that I'd asked for a proposal I hadn't received, but I'd also made a huge mistake by mentioning his father. I knew our situations were night and day, but I couldn't help feeling as if Manning was siding with a man who would have preferred Manning and I never met at all. I was angry, but not with Manning. He and I were solid. We'd moved the stars on our own, despite my dad. For more than a decade, I'd been without the man who'd raised me. He'd gone that long not caring to close the gap between us. He hadn't congratulated me on my graduation from NYU, hadn't checked in on my life beyond whatever he got from my phone calls with Mom. He'd let pride get in the way of all of that, and he'd missed too much of my life. He didn't deserve to come in at the best part.
Lake,
Manning said from behind me as I set our glasses in the sink. I rubbed the bridge of my nose as I glanced out into the backyard. It was a command to turn around, but I didn't want to face him after what I'd said. I should never have brought his father into this. He was a monster from his core. That wasn't my dad, no matter how he'd hurt me. I turned to find Manning leaning in the doorway in his underwear, arms crossed over his oiled chest, hair sticking up in all directions. The man was equal parts sexy and cute and wholly impossible to stay angry with.
I'm sorry, I said, deflating. I shouldn't have said that.
It's okay, he said. I know you didn't mean it that way.
I just don't understand why this matters so much to you.
One of the reasons I never touched you was because I knew it would ruin your relationship with your family.
His torso expanded with a breath, a frown on his face.
You know, if you and I had gotten together, even if Tiffany hadn't been in the picture, it would have created a rift between you and your dad. I can't help feeling this is my fault.
It isn't, though, I said.
Regardless if it is or isn't, you and I are older now. We're as much adults as they are. If your dad and I have been able to keep in touch, you and he should be able to at least try.
But I'm happy, Manning. Truly happy. As happy as I could ever get. What gives my dad the right to skip all the hard and scary parts of my life and come in when everything is great?
I already told you.
Manning crossed the kitchen and slid a hand under my hair, caressing my cheek with his thumb.
This isn't about him. It's about you and us.
Are we not okay? I asked quietly. Was I wrong to think everything was as close to perfect as it could get?
Oh, Birdie, he whispered. You weren't wrong. I wouldn't change a thing about our life together.
He put both palms to my cheeks.
I guess part of me just wanted to give you what I don't have and never will. Maybe, selfishly, I want those things back. A father, a sibling, even a mother. I don't have them anymore. And it kills me that you don't either. Because of me.
My heart dropped. I had been the selfish one, thinking this was only about me. Manning had needs that had been easy for me to ignore. I'm sorry, I said. I forget that you've lost not only your mom and dad, but mine as well. I know you had good times with your family until Maddie's death.
That was a different life. Maybe I need to let go, rather than trying to get you to forgive them. It's my own insecurities bringing all this up.
Having lost any sense of family as a teen, he reminded me all the time that I came first. Him and me, us, we were his priority. I leaned into his touch, sinking into the familiar roughness of his palm. I'm your family.
And I don't want to wait any longer to make that official. I want you as my wife. Now. I want you pregnant with my child. Now.
The abruptness of his words caused heat to bloom from my chest to my face. A minute ago, I'd been concerned he was having second thoughts. Suddenly we were talking babies? It wasn't as if the idea of children never came up. It did, frequently. But there was something extra arousing about his impatience. You've said that before. Careful, or one of these days you might wear me down. He narrowed his eyes on my mouth.
You say that like it's a threat.
It is.
There's no reason we can't start planning a wedding, but we're definitely not ready for a baby.
Remind me again, why not? You graduate in less than 6 months. If I knock you up now...
I widened my eyes. We won't even be married by then. He shrugged, slipping a firm hand inside the blanket and down my ribs.
So maybe your wedding dress is a little snug around the middle.
Manning! He groaned, walking me back until my ass hit the counter.
You have any idea what that image does to me? You as a pregnant bride.
Truthfully, it did things to me, too. For years, it had been our plan to wait until I'd been working a year or two, but that didn't mean I didn't think about it all the time. I'm supposed to start looking for a job soon.
There's always a reason for us not to be together, not to get married, not to have a baby, he said, gathering up the throw to expose my thigh. If we've done nothing else right in our lives, we have bad timing down to an art, so why fight it?
Manning's fiendish need for a baby excited me, and not just because he was growing hard against my stomach. That happened whenever he went into protect, provide, mate mode. But tonight, his impatience made me pause. I needed to know there was no chance Manning needed a baby to fill a hole left by both his family and mine. Manning would never accept an unfilled hole in my soul. I owed him the same. I could give him back a family he'd once had. If I was the only thing keeping him from them, I couldn't be selfish any longer. Maybe Manning was right about this. He knew the true meaning of a bad father. I'd kept my dad at arm's length for so long, and for reasons I wasn't even sure were still important to me. It was hard to hold a grudge when I had the life I'd always wanted. I could have grown up in a household like Manning's. Instead, my parents had done nothing but try to give me every opportunity. As Manning held on to me, his trust in me as solid as ever, I had to admit I'd done wrong by him. I hadn't thought of how deeply all of this impacted him. Not only did I want Manning to be a father, but I wanted him to have one, too. I hadn't acted that way, though. I'd given Manning shit on more than one occasion for keeping in touch with my dad. For too long, I'd pretended as if their relationship was a problem, when the reality was, in Manning's eyes, it was probably a gift. I sighed heavily, defeat working its way through me. Manning held me close as my body went slack.
What is it? He asked.
My mom invited me for Sunday dinner recently.
Me too, he said. She does every few months. You tell her no. I tell her no.
What was I thinking? I wasn't sure. I only knew if I didn't make a move now, it might be another decade before I worked up the nerve to see them again. And I wasn't waiting that long to marry the man in front of me. What if he doesn't want to make things right? I muttered. What if I go there and my own dad can't even look at me?
Then I'll make him look at you. Show him this has gone on too long. I will do everything in my power to mend what's missing in your life. And if I can't, you'll have to be satisfied knowing it'll only be you and me. But it'll always be you and me.
I smiled a little. I suppose I can live with that. I'd thought many times about contacting my dad. I'd just never considered actually doing it. The thought terrified me. But Manning had given me so much over the years, I wanted to do this for him, and for our relationship. And, if I was honest, for myself. I missed my father, regardless of how he'd treated us, and I'd gone long enough on my own. Maybe that should have strengthened my resolve, knowing I could live without him. But I wanted my family back in my life. Not only my dad, but my sister too, if she and I could ever move past the man between us. It was time to go home.
Chapter 4.
Standing before my parents' front door, Manning and I were faced with a version of the same welcoming holiday wreath my mother had hung every year of my childhood, crisp greenery offset by a red, poofy felt bow. Like always, the cul-de-sac curved with neat lawns, and LED lights trimmed every roof, even weeks after Christmas. An ocean breeze cooled the back of my neck. Not much had changed in the years since I'd moved away, and yet everything was different. Despite the temperate day, my hands reddened from a January chill, and from gripping the two containers of food I'd brought so I wouldn't show up empty-handed. I didn't even realize I was looking at the neighbor's house Manning had helped build until he turned, too.
"What did we even talk about that day?"
he asked, his eyes on the wall where we'd sat. "I don't know. Little nothings." I glanced up at him. But at the time, it had felt like the world. He rubbed the back of my neck, moving my hair aside. I'd cut it to my shoulders the week before. Being 31 and on my own for over a decade should have been enough to face my dad feeling like an adult, but I wasn't sure it would be. I hoped looking the part would help him see I wasn't the same girl who'd bowed to her father's every demand.
"I'll go in first," Manning said. "They're expecting me."
"You and a date," I reminded him.
"I only said I was bringing someone to give your mom a heads up for the meal."
I'd been mentally preparing for this for weeks. As it had many times over the drive from Big Bear, my stomach flipped at the thought of walking in uninvited. "Okay," I agreed. Manning raised his fist to knock, but I pulled his elbow back down. I glanced up at the second-floor landing where I'd sat through many sunsets, watching our neighborhood from the upstairs of the only home I'd known until 18. "What if they're disgusted with us?" I asked. "Embarrassed. Maybe we should have called first."
"It's not the kind of thing you say over the phone," he reminded me. "And if that happens, what changes, except that we're finally freed by the truth?"
My dad's contempt is loud in his silence. It'll be deafening in person.
"Give him a chance."
Manning kissed the top of my head.
"If he can't accept it, you don't lose anything."
"You do," I said.
"You're more important. If he can't accept that you and I are sincerely happy, then I gave him too much credit."
I turned my entire body to him, hugging the Tupperware so tightly to my stomach the plastic edges pressed through my sweater. "And what about Tiffany?"
"At least we know what to expect from her."
Manning and I had been over this several times, but he patiently walked me through it again.
"She'll make it about her, and there'll be a scene. But when she finds something else to be annoyed over, she'll move on."
I shifted between feet. If I was an expert in anything, it was the drama that turned Tiffany's world. The difference now, though, I wasn't an innocent kid enduring her sister's overdeveloped sense of teen angst. I'd crossed lines and made decisions knowing they'd hurt her. But I was also older and more adept at taking shit. I was steeled by the knowledge that nothing Tiffany said or did could deny or undermine the love between Manning and me. Compared to my dad, the approach of Tornado Tiffany actually felt manageable. Manning knocked firmly, then let himself in.
"Hello?"
Once he'd disappeared into the house, I stepped through the open door. Even the warm embrace of home and the festive pine needle air couldn't strip the tension from my body. It didn't help that the first door off the entryway shut off my father's study. I could picture him at his desk, doing whatever it was he did in there. Where the study had once held an air of mystery and the forbidden, I no longer cared about it. He'd probably made calls to his mistress in there, corresponded with his friends at the Ritz as he'd arranged the wedding for one daughter and the downfall of his other. Maybe he'd even used his power and influence to get me into USC instead of letting me do it myself. I wouldn't put much past him. I tiptoed past, trying to quiet my boot heels on the tile. Mom had ripped up the carpet on the stairs to the second floor. More wreaths and poinsettias decorated the house. In the TV room, a real tree stopped a foot beneath the ceiling. It was still full and deeply green, not to mention weighed down with a mixture of expensive glass ornaments and colorful sentimental ones. The turkey in the oven aroma and deep register of Manning's voice called me to the kitchen like a siren song, but I stayed quiet and out of sight. "It's been so long since you came by," my mom said. I had to lean forward to listen, her voice soft enough that I assumed she and Manning were hugging. "I left all the decorations up for you. I wasn't sure if you'd spent the holidays with anyone."
"Thank you, Kathy."
"Although, well, I haven't mentioned anything to Charles or Tiffany because they'll call me silly. When you said you were bringing a date, I just couldn't imagine you'd introduce us to anyone. It's not the kind of man you are, mixing your two lives. unless those lives are already mixed.
Kathy, he said.
Am I right? She asked. If not, it's okay.